Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. Thank you and God bless.
All right. Please grab your Bibles and go with me to Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Last month, I had a great honor to stand before you guys and talk about that no matter what time or season you're in your life, you all have a destiny that God has created you to accomplish. And if you weren't with me, the scripture that we used was in Isaiah 46, verse 9 through 11, I hope is correct. That's where it talks about God knows the end from the beginning, and that if he knows the end from the beginning, he, for you to be here on this planet, means that he has already purposed that you're going to accomplish what he's created you to do, which is to give you great hope. Now, when we talk about you and I moving towards the future of who God has created you to be, we need to talk about this idea that each one of you in this room, from the biblical perspective, need to have what we call an identity crisis in God. And what I mean by that is not losing who you see yourself as, but coming into who you really are. Okay? And so this identity crisis that you and I need to have happen inside of us is learning to let go of anyone else's view or opinion of ourselves and fixing our attention on what God says we're about, who we are, what he thinks of us. Why am I talking to you about this? Because what I'm going to talk to you about today, about your own personal destiny, is what happens to people in their journey of walking with the Lord, and that causes them for a season to lose their focus and to get discouraged and finally say, this is too hard, I want to give up. Okay? So we're going to talk about what we call the obstacles for you fulfilling what God has called you to do. Okay? God's planning on getting you there. I don't ever think that it's God's intention for us to want to give up. I think what happens is, as we go through circumstances, we interpret that circumstances, we make a judgment about that circumstances, and then what happens is we lose all hope of thinking God's ever going to do something with us. And so let's just talk about that for a moment. Here in Matthew chapter 11, you guys are probably there with me already, but let's look at the scripture closely here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 2. Now, what is going on? Well, it says this. Now, when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up, and the poor are given the good news preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended by me. Okay. This is a very poignant scripture because it points to a reality. The passage could be pointed to the fact that look at all the things that Jesus is doing, but what it's really pointing to is where John's at right now. And remember, Jesus' estimation of John was he was the greatest prophet that ever lived. Okay? Now, I know that you guys have seen this in the scripture, but not only was he the greatest prophet that ever lived, Jesus also made reference that any child in the kingdom of God is greater than that. Now, John's the greatest prophet that ever lived, and here he's in a prison wondering if Jesus is who he says he is. Okay? This is what we would call the prison of experience that happens, and it ends up causing us to lose focus, and it causes us to come into despair and make us wonder if we're really doing what God has called us to do. So what are these obstacles that you and I need to pay attention to? I believe that, at least for John and his experience, when circumstances begin to become overwhelming, what happens is there seems to be in the heart of all of us a tendency to draw back from God because it's not fun to go through some of the things we go through. And that natural tendency that we have, we usually interpret it as God is mad with us as we're going through difficult times, instead of recognizing that God is saying, no, draw near to me. And because of that, not understanding that, what happens is we get out of touch with God. Now, when we get out of touch with God, all of a sudden, the very thing that comes from our relationship with God begins to wane. Our ability to see in the Spirit where God is taking us, our ability to feel comfort, we lose that. We have a tendency to forget. It's almost like, in a sense, we become blind again, and we don't know why we're on the planet or what we're doing. And so when we step out of touch with the Lord because of something that's going on in our lives, what happens is it makes us feel like we've gone from people on purpose living life to people that are just wanderers like everybody else. Now, I find it interesting in this passage that Jesus says, what I want you to do is I want you to tell John the works that are going on. And this is pointing to a key to something. When you and I feel like we're floundering, we need to either currently look at the work that God is doing or rehearse the work of God in our lives, because this will refresh our souls and bring us back to the Lord. Okay, David said this in the Psalms, and I found it to be absolutely true. He talked about his life in the Psalms, and he said, when I was a young man, God was faithful, and now I'm an old man, and I've found that God is faithful. And then he said, and I remember the works of the Lord continually. Now, do you guys ever go through a season where you think, this is incredibly difficult? Has God left me? In that time, God has called you to remember what he's done in your life. It will become a connection and a refreshing with you to the Lord. And so one of the obstacles that you and I have to pay attention to is this sense of being caught in circumstances and feeling like there's no way I'm going to be able to do the things the Lord has called me to, and getting out of touch with God. Okay. Now, the good thing, I was looking at a scripture this morning before I came here, is how God is so available to you and I. Even when, let's say, you can't even know how to turn to the Lord, God will still pursue you. He'll make himself known to you. He'll do what he's always done in Scripture. You know, isn't it amazing how sometimes we think, well, I'm pursuing God, and yet we find out even from Scripture that we know him because he pursued us first. And that's the continual attitude of the Lord. It is his job to pursue us. What's the next obstacle that you and I have to be aware of when God has given us something to do and we get out of focus and we get into this place that John the Baptist was? It's a very common thing. In fact, it's so common that we write books on it all the time. It's called burnout with people. Now, wouldn't ministry be great if you didn't have to minister to people? You could just kind of sit in your office and just pontificate and never interact with anybody and just say, here's what Jesus is about. Wouldn't that be awesome? But ministry, really, is learning to love people. Now, you know, not very many people in Colorado seem to struggle with this, but I find in Kansas City this is a phenomenal problem. There are actually some people that are hard to get along with. Can you imagine that? And those are the people that usually we get in conflict with when we're trying to walk out the things that God has called us to. Or we have people, for some odd reason, they feel that they have a divine right to harass us as we're trying to do what God has called us to do. Isn't that wonderful to know? Now, how do we interpret getting burned out with people? I find that part of the idea that Jesus was trying to communicate with the disciples was this lifestyle of learning when to put into people and when to pull back. And I don't know if you guys hear this, but I feel this from, at least from my family upbringing. It might be an American thing. I haven't figured this one out yet. But it seems to me that we're always being told to go all the time, and we're never taught how to figure out rhythms in the kingdom of God. So we're just constantly giving all the time and never relaxing, never, in a true sense of the word, learning how to feed ourselves or finding places of refreshing. And so what happens is there's a phenomenon that's going on in the American church right now that 1,200 pastors are quitting the ministry every day. So we have 400,000 churches in the United States, and 1,200 leaders are quitting on a daily basis. Well, what's going on? Well, what happened is we've been given a standard that as leaders we have to go, and as Christians we have to go, 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 go. And so there's never a time of pulling back, feeding our own soul, restoring ourselves, and taking times to be refreshed ourselves. And are you ready? If you're called to minister to people and you don't like them, there's a problem. Now, whatever is in our heart is what we give in ministry to people. And can we say this in a very nice way? Don't be deceived. What's in your heart is going to come out when you minister to people. Okay, so if you're hurting, you're going to give that to people. If you're mad at people, you're going to give that. People are going to pick it up. And now everyone thinks, oh, no, people don't pick that up. Yes, they do. Okay, so what's in your heart? That's why Jesus says ministry comes out of what's in your heart. So what you store in your heart is what you give away to people. This is why the Bible commands you and I to really understand the concept of forgiving people and intentionally finding the love of God for a person that's hard to get along with. I don't think I'm going to tell the same story I always tell about that, but there have been several people in my life that I've wondered if they were part of the minion of the Antichrist. And they've done a lot of, they've really helped me find the Lord. And I know you people, I know you guys have probably experienced that also. And I'm sure that I've done this to other people too, unintentionally. And so what do we need to recognize? Well, one of the stumbling blocks from doing what God has called us to do is, ready, burnout with people. Now, when I say burnout with people, there are two levels of that, okay? One is serving too much, and the other is trying to get people to approve and recognize what you're doing. It's called approval addiction. Okay? Now, I don't know if you've ever heard that term, but approval addiction is going to the wrong place to get approval, and you do extraordinary things and sacrifice too many things to get the approval of man to come towards you. Okay? Now, I know that I have no problem saying this. Who does God usually choose as leaders? Not all the time, but who does God usually choose as leaders? Well, the most broken people that are walking around on the planet, right? Because he's trying to show his glory through vessels that are broken. So they usually come from terrible upbringings or broken homes, and then God says, now go minister to my children. And the people that are called that way, they look at God and they go, are you kidding me? And they have to deal with this crack earthen vessel thing. And do you know that one of the longings of the human heart that each one of us have, whether we understand it or recognize it, is called the approval longing. Now we can go to people, and we can turn to ministry, and we can try to get them to get that longing satisfied, or we can go to the Lord, which we're supposed to. You guys ready? It doesn't matter how much praise or approval people give you, it will never satisfy you, because God is determined that the only approval that will satisfy the heart will be God's approval. So trying to do one feat for the Lord after another, whatever God has called you to do to get people to notice you, you're going to be extremely frustrated if you're doing that. Now, a lot of times we don't realize that that's one of our obstacles. And so one of the reasons that people give up on their vision is they say, are you ready? No one appreciates what I'm doing. I do feel like I'll tell this story. There's a little town in Iowa called Fairfield, Iowa. And if you know anything, if anyone ever heard of a place called Fairfield, Iowa? Okay, well, great. All right. So the people that know that, they know that that's where the Maharishi has planted himself in America. It took over the university. They have all these weird money systems. The Christian church is basically just invaded by transcendental meditation. Okay? God just has the greatest sense of humor. So God connects me with one Christian pastor up there that's not practicing transcendental meditation. And the pastor says, could you come on a monthly basis like I do with you guys? And would you train on what you train on, prophetic and stuff like that? Okay, so when I started going, I think we had three people that were coming, and I remember every time going, that's not enough people, Lord. Would you give me more people? And the Lord said, no, you're going to stay with us until they tell you to leave. Well, you know, that could be a lifetime. And I went month after month, because it was part of my circuit that I did when I was going to Minnesota. I'd stop there. And it went from, now this is really a blessing, it went from 3 to 1. Ready? For 5 years, I ministered to one lady on Thursday night in Fairfield, Iowa. I'd lay in bed at night and go, God, what is the purpose of this? And I had more encouraging and heart-wrenching conversations with the Lord about Fairfield, Iowa than any other place I've ever gone in my life. First thing he did is he dealt with, that's how I know I had approval addiction, he dealt with that. He said, now, do you minister to people effectively because you have a crowd, or do you minister because they're made in my image? He says, if you're not willing to do the best you can do when you minister to one person, why do you think I'm going to release you to thousands? He says, you're doing that because you long to be approved, and so I'm going to let you walk through this so that can get out of your heart. No, that's the best thing that happened to me. Because, you guys ready? If some of you ever get to do what I do, you have different crowds. You have big groups sometimes, you have one person, it doesn't matter. Who cares? It's being, ready? Faithful to the Lord. And so some of the reasons people give up on their vision is they think no one's listening. Are you guys ready? Every vision starts in a seed form. It has to go into the ground, has to die, and it has to start off in a small way to grow to something big. And so this idea that the minute you do whatever you're going to do for the Lord, people are going to throw garlands of roses and clap as you come in the door, it's just not a reality. John Wesley, if you've ever heard of him, said this: there was a season of my ministry where everybody persecuted me. Then after 20 years of faithfully serving, even though he'd have to go into the middle of a lake so that he could get away from the rocks that people were throwing at him so he'd stop preaching the gospel, he said after 20 years, it finally changed. And as I started coming in the city, people would clap. And he said that he actually talked about the shock of the when that finally switched. He said, "This is really unusual. I went into a town and they clapped when I came in." He says, "I don't know what to do with that. I'm so used to people throwing rocks at me." Now, what is that man? He's showing something about the Lord. Once God comes to you and I and he becomes the delight of our heart, and we want to please him, and can I say this in the right way? And when we don't care if anyone likes it or not, we're now set to actually do something great in God's kingdom. Because we're doing it as a dance with God. Okay. People I stayed with last night, they were complimenting me about something that I do in ministry. Now, you guys ready for this? I so laugh because I go through seasons in my life where people are telling me I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, and then I go through another season where they ask me, why don't you stop talking? We don't even like seeing you or being around you. And it's just a constant flow of that kind of stuff. And so I think it's wise for us to just realize I'm here to serve, I'm doing this under the Lord, and whatever they say in good or bad, I'm just going to let it roll off my back and just stay faithful. Most people I talk to, when they give up on their vision, what I find out is at this level, this is where a lot of people struggle. If you become burned out with the very calling that God has given you, it's harder to let it go and then come back to it than it is to just persevere through it. Let's look at the next thing. Next obstacle we have to remember about you and I fulfilling what God has called us to do is it's called poor leadership in our own lives. I mentioned it, but we have to understand that there are a rhythm to your own lifestyle. Did you guys realize, I don't know if you ever thought about this, but during one week, you have a certain day of the week that you're more creative than another day. But most people don't analyze that or think through it, and so they try to produce things when they're not being creative compared to the day they're being creative, and because they don't understand what we call weekly and monthly and quarterly and even yearly cycles of things going on in their life, they're just trying to produce something all the time. What happens is they create what we call poor leadership in their life. Okay? Now, it needs to be said, one of the areas that God has called you and I to do is learn to steward us. Our culture doesn't call you to steward yourself. Our culture calls you to be extreme in every area of life. And so you have to learn to say what is permissible and what is beneficial. So I have to look at things like I have to have time to rest. I have to have time to hang out with my family. I have to have time to eat correctly. I have to have time to go exercise. I have to have time to go hang out with friends. I mean, do you guys get it? I can't. A lot of people think being passionate is being focused on one thing and neglecting everything else, and then they make statements like this, and I'm going to burn out for God. Well, what they really do is they just burn out because they've destroyed themselves. And so one of the things that keeps people from mostly going on with their vision is about the time they're ready to reach it, the age of 50, they've so not taken care of themselves, they collapse, and when they're ready to reach their zenith, there's nothing left. I always say this to people, you're really not ready to start ministry until you're 80. You guys comfortable with that? All of it up to the age of 80 is just learning. That's when Moses started his ministry. The most powerful ministries, except Jesus, were later on in life. You guys ready for this? I really thought I knew what I was doing at the age of 20. Anyone that heard me do a sermon at the age of 20, I feel so sorry for them. I mean, outside of preaching biblical doctrine, I don't know what in the world I was telling people, but I'm sure it messed their life up pretty significantly. All right? It takes time. There are certain things you cannot learn by just reading books. You have to live life. And you have to learn it wise. You have to live it wisely. And this is one of the things that keeps people from going on with their life, is they've destroyed themselves in the process. Here's the last thing. It's called the absence of accountability. I don't know how much teaching you guys have had on accountability, but it doesn't mean I go to a taskmaster and the taskmaster goes to me and says, well, you're a mess here, here, and here. That's not what accountability. Accountability is what we would call transparency with another person. So I intentionally make myself accountable to people, and I tell them all the junk that's actually going on in my life instead of putting on this attitude that I don't struggle with things like everybody else does. Do you guys realize that if God gives you something to do in the kingdom and he expresses his power through you, people look at you, and if you don't tell people the stuff you struggle with, they think you've experienced something in God that they'll never touch, and you must be so unique you were created with a unique mold that the rest of us weren't created with. Paul ends up describing it this way. He said that when he was among the people he ministered to, he said, I'm weak among you. And he intentionally wanted people to know that he was weak for one reason, so that they would realize that Christ was working through him, instead of them going, well, look how gifted Paul is. Okay? The more you and I step into the things that God has called us to do, it will catch us all off guard how much God can use a man and woman who's committed to God. But please remember this. Always point out to people and create around you an accountability group where you confess who you really are. Because the enemy loves and comes and deceives people once they start doing something from the Lord that they're pretty special. And then all the rules that took to get there, they don't apply anymore, and you can do whatever you want. There's a treasure trove in church history of powerful leaders that were not accountable, that destroyed themselves and everybody that they did ministry with. Okay? So at a certain level, you and I have to ask ourselves a question. And I do this all the time. In my 20s, I wanted to burn and have zeal for the Lord, and I did, and I messed everyone's life up. As I get older, now I'm asking this question. How do I, with the Lord, stay on track with him, do more for the Lord, and finish well? It's amazing how time and living in time makes you ask that question. Am I finishing well? I mean, it's easy to start off well, isn't it? It's easy to start off well when Jesus shows up and he's right there and you're bouncing off the wall and everything's happening. It's harder, isn't it, when you have to be faithful day in and day out, day in and day out. You and I need a community around us that calls us to this. We need to intentionally get around people and say, hey, man, I'm a mess. Here's what's going on in my life. Help me, pray for me, be with me. All right, look with me at John chapter 21, verse 3, and we'll finish with this. John chapter 21, verse 3. Here we have another person who has been, in my opinion, incredibly blessed by the Lord. And it was Peter the Apostle. You know, guys, there are a few people in the Bible that really had God do some amazing things with, and yet they were incredibly broken people. And Peter is one of those people. I mean, he's the guy that when Jesus says, who do you all say that I am? He says, well, you're the Son of the living God. And he says, you know, that wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood. That was my Father who spoke to you. He ends up telling him that it really isn't him, but upon this rock I'm going to build my church. I mean, he's saying you're going to do some pretty intense things, and then at the end of your life, when you die, you're going to sit on one of the 12 thrones and judge the nation of Israel. I mean, that kind of means something, doesn't it? And then Jesus, he goes and denies Jesus, and then what happens to him? Once he denies to him, he falls into, are you ready, a sea of shame and despondency. And Jesus raises him, I'm amazed at this, Jesus raises himself from the dead, and Peter still cannot resolve that issue. You'd think, after you denied Jesus, and Jesus is raised from the dead, you'd think everything would be okay, but inside Peter's own heart, it wasn't okay. So Jesus appears to him, and then in this story here in John chapter 21, Peter, they're all looking to Peter to be the leader now of the apostles. These guys are all apostles, but they're looking to Peter to be the main leader of it. And he says this. So look at the passage. Simon Peter said to them, verse 3, hey, I'm going fishing. Now, this is not a statement that's made like in Colorado the way we use it. You know, I don't have something to do. Let's go fishing. That's not what this is. This is a statement of resignation. Jesus has appeared to him, and here's his response. I'm going to go fishing. Okay? What he's doing here is he's going back to who he was before he met Christ. Okay? How can you raise people from the dead, see Jesus raised from the dead, and decide after all that has happened that you're going to go back to who you were before you met Christ? Because something happened to Peter's heart when he denied the Lord that Jesus needed to deal with. Well, let's talk about that. Do you guys realize that in each one of our lives, I hate to say this, but it's true, because we're made out of dust, we still struggle with a fallen nature, even when we know the Lord. We're going to do something that we believe so dishonors and discredits the Lord that we will want to go back to our former life. And you guys know this, right? The enemy uses that to taunt you. Now look what happens. Peter says, I'm going fishing. They said, well, we'll go with you. So they're all giving up. Isn't that great? Jesus is starting a movement called Let's Give Up. And so they went out and they got in the boat and they went out to do what they were going to do and they caught nothing. Now, if you see this, it's trying to point to something. You cannot go back to what you were doing before you met the Lord and think you're going to produce anything in that arena. It's over. And if you try to go back, Jesus is going to make sure you can't go back. Isn't that exciting? I don't know if you guys like this or not. And so once God has called you and he started training you and stuff like that, are you guys ready? All bridges are burned. Isn't that exciting? Yes. And so when we try to go a different direction, guess what? It's going to fail. Yes. No one enjoyed that. All right, so let's move on. So what happened to Peter here is it's called his perspective got out of alignment. And it had to do with his expectation of his own walk with the Lord that he could sustain himself. Now, there's something hidden in my heart I got to confess to you today. Each one of us actually believes we don't need a Savior. I mean, we did at one point, but we're pretty good now. And what happens is we have a view of ourselves according to how God has created us. Some of it is a correct view of ourselves, and some of it is a prideful view of ourselves. I know I have this. I know the Lord confronting it all the time. And it looks something like this. I'll never let the Lord down. And it's a statement of my own self-effort. I'll never let the Lord down. And lo and behold, guess what I've done my whole entire life? I've let the Lord down. Now, are you guys ready? If your walk with God and your destiny has to do with how good you do things, you'll never fulfill what you're called to do. Because you'll be on your own back, beating your... The devil doesn't even need to talk to you. You'll beat yourself silly to the point where you'll get so frustrated with what God has called you to do and what you're supposed to accomplish, you'll just say, I'm not going to do this anymore. The weight of it on my soul is crushing. Now, you guys ready? The weight of your calling fits easily on you, and it's very light. The weight of us condemning ourselves is a very crushing thing that we have got to let go of. So are you guys ready? Have you evaluated your own life that you've disappointed the Lord to the point where he can't use you anymore? If you have, this is one of the things that steals your vision. That's out of the other things we talked about. So would you guys mind with me just for a moment? Let's just pray and ask the Lord to search our hearts. Could we do that? Lord of all creation, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come among us now. Search our hearts, O God. And Lord, as we've talked through these different things, it is only out of your wisdom and your relationship with us that we can walk through this. So this isn't really about how committed we are. It's about how committed you are to us. Would you come inside our hearts where there are misconceptions, where there are wrong views of things, where there has been a judgment over our own selves before you, God, and would you bring your healing presence over our lives? And would you allow the salve of healing to come into our past and into our emotions and into our perspective? And we ask for a cleansing, oh God, and a refreshing, so that we can get on to a new day and stop letting the former things define us. God, I ask for all of us, give us wisdom as we go into each day that we're going forward towards. Give us you. I ask, Lord, that not only would you cleanse us, but that the compassion of the Lord would become our garment, and that we could be nurtured by your compassion. And I thank you for being a father to each one of us, and I bless your people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.